The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it is said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise over the bad as well as the good, and causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense do you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Good evening. So let me start with a little reflection of the events that occurred to me last month. As some of you may know, I was honored to accompany our pastor on the pilgrimage to the Holy Land. On this trip, we literally walked the path of Jesus during his 3 years of public ministry. From his baptism by John the Baptizer, his cousin, to the crucifixion and resurrection and ultimately the ascension into heaven. This was truly a life-changing and a life-affirming trip for me, and it is a pilgrimage that all Catholics should consider to take at least once in their lifetime. Let me emphasize to you something, though. This was not a vacation to an exotic land, although it may sound like that. No, it was by all definitions a pilgrimage. Getting up at 6:30, 7:30, and one day 5:30 in the morning to get on a bus and travel from the comforts of our fine hotel rooms to places and locations Jesus preached, taught, cured the sick, healed the afflicted, raised the dead, and ultimately got arrested and died on the cross. In all cases, these places and these stories were narrated to us by an expert guide whose command of the history of the events and the recordings of them, not only from the Bible, but also from historians of the time, made Christ's life, Jesus' existence, Jesus' reality come alive in my mind and in my heart and in my soul. From Galilee, where Jesus spent most of his time, to Bethlehem, the beginning of his journey, and ultimately to Jerusalem, where he was arrested and crucified, this pilgrimage was all that I expected it to be and will stay with me until I die. But enough of me. Let's talk about today, the meaning of today. Today is the seventh Sunday in ordinary time. It used to be called Quinquagesima Sunday, which by the 1914 Catholic Encyclopedia was defined as the 50 days before Easter. Now, most of you don't, pre-Vatican II people, don't remember this term, Quinquagesima Sunday, because it doesn't exist anymore. These designations were abandoned some 50 years ago after Vatican II. But the memories still linger on. And it is, however, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, which marks the beginning of Lent. This is the time of prayer and abstinence that prepares us for the celebration of the passion and death of our and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a better topic than love to start the Lenten season off with. So the Old Testament reading, here we see in Leviticus, we see the Levitical priesthood being born. And so the Lord tells Moses, after they had sinned and he threw the tablets at them, to tell the people to be holy because the Lord God is holy. Do not bear hatred for your brother in your heart, even if you are wronged by them. Do not incur sin because of their sin. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take no revenge and bear no grudge. Whoa. That was a pretty heavy instruction for those people way back then. But the Jewish people seemed to have forgotten all these instructions. And it was Jesus' job to remind them of these ancient rules. Even our responsorial song reminds us that the Lord is kind and merciful and instructs us to be like God in every way and carries over here as well. But in today's gospel, it is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, a place that we visited when we walked the path of Jesus on our pilgrimage. And Jesus continues his lesson with the eye for an eye dialogue. It isn't intended to condone revenge, but rather intended to limit the retaliation of wrongdoing, to be an equivalent response. And even the Old Testament doesn't encourage revenge. The laws of the Pentateuch actually restrict the amount of revenge that one is allowed to take on another. But Jesus, on the other hand, says, offer no resistance to the one who is evil. Instead, Jesus answers to wrong against oneself by instructing us to turn the other cheek. His call is actually a reminder that you should love one another and your neighbor as you would love yourself. So let's take a moment to explore this thing we call love. We only have one word to cover love in English, but the Greeks have 8 different words that describe love. And I'm going to go through them real briefly, although we'll only touch on 2. There's mania, which is an obsessive love. There's ludus, which is playful love. Pragma, which is enduring love. Stoge, which is familiar love. Politia, which is self-love. Philia, which is affectionate love. Eros, which is romantic love. And then finally, agape, unconditional love. The love that we strive in both our relationships with our spouses and with God. And it is this agape, or unconditional love, that God has for us. We mortal men have difficulties with this kind of love. When we say, I love you, we really mean, I love you, but I love you with conditions, always conditions. You must be honest, you must be true, you must be trustworthy, you must be loyal. All good things that make love, love. But it is an important characteristic to be true love in a relationship. Unconditional love must be achieved, nonetheless. After his resurrection, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? The first time Jesus asked Peter, he used the word agape in the Greek translation. Peter responded, of course I love you, Jesus. But he used the word philia, which is the kind of love we love our spouses with. It's a good kind of love, but again, it's conditional love. "You know I love you," he said, but it was philia. And Jesus asked him this three times. But on the third time, Jesus used the word philia when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Which shows that Jesus was willing to accept his love for what he was willing to give. And this was a real stretch when Jesus really expected Peter to agape, to love him unconditionally. And Peter couldn't bring himself to that yet. So Jesus asked his apostles and us to take up a different approach to love a fellow man. He instructs us to love our enemies, not to retaliate for wrongs done to us, but to turn the other cheek when wronged by others. We are asked to go beyond the norms of society and embrace our enemies and hold no hatred in our hearts toward our fellow man. Those who are called to the kingdom of heaven, you and me, must embrace our enemies and hate evil, and those who participate in evil, as the Old Testament calls us to do. In Matthew's gospel, we are commanded that love of God and love of neighbor is essential. These are a fundamental commands which all else depend on. Because God's love is unconditional, so too must we have unconditional love for him and for our fellow man as well. Finally, the key to all this is the command to be perfect, like your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, the word used in the Greek translation is telos. And telos doesn't mean perfect. Telos means complete. This puts a different slant on what this meaning is to us. Our perfection is achieved by striving to reach completeness. The completeness that we are called within the kingdom of heaven. Attempting to love our enemies is how we strive towards this completeness. Now for homework. You didn't think you'd have homework, did you? So many of you have someone in your life, past or present, that you are estranged with, whether it's your family member or just a friend that we have in the circle of your friends. So for your homework, you're to call them. You're to reach out to them. You're to reconnect with them. Apologize to them if that's necessary. Or forgive them if that's needed. But reach out to them. Reach out to them this very day and love them. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.